and this new place of worship, but this is not our final destination. This is not our final destination. Praise God that He, like anywhere else, His tabernacle, His tent, His shelter is above us always. I'll tell you what, you might be in the steaming hot desert, and you might think that you're just burning up, but I'll tell you what, you are still under the covenant of God. And you know what, it's all how we see things, and we need to understand something. Thank God that there's only a few of us tonight. I know it's hard, and it's going to be a process of getting used to coming back on Thursday nights, but Thursday's nights. But you know what, listen to me. We're investigating the possibility of another building right now. We're even looking at another building. We're trying to swing in. It's a very nice facility. It's a beautiful church. It has the potential to be a home base for us for many years. And it's a beautiful place. It has a big parking lot. It's on a main drag. Remember what we call a drag on a main street. And because you know, I don't know if they call it drag because you usually have to drag us into church. But it's a nice building. It's really nice. We're working on it. We're asking the Lord if that's the place for us. He'll open that up. But this is not our final destination. This is just our traveling place. This is a place that God has us for a season, and it's nice. It's comfortable in here. Praise God, little dude. Do we get it back on, Marge? No? Oh, it's trying to reboot? Okay, maybe we'll get on time. But I hope you have your Bibles tonight because I got plenty of scripture. But we're investing in that'll be a God. God will bless us when He has the perfect place for us. But this is not our final destination. It isn't. I believe that I would prefer, and someone might get offended this, I wish the Lord would come before He moved us. Just zap us right out of here and get right into the kingdom of God. We call His kingdoms here. Do you know why His kingdom's here? We sing that song, Let Your Kingdom Come, because we're here. We're of the kingdom of God. His kingdom is here. We represent God. And we got to remember that as a people, who we represent. The world doesn't want anything. Christians aren't outcasts just because we're aliens here. Doesn't mean that we don't belong here. We belong here because God's kingdom is here, and we are establishing His kingdom here in this place. Amen? And God, listen, and God will do it if we will open the doors that need to be opened. He has given us the keys. So we're going to look at the teaching we had a few years ago, and God moved in our finances. There was a couple years ago, how many remember the keys of the kingdom? Does everybody remember? Some of you don't because you're new since then. We taught a series on the keys of the kingdom. The Lord brought me back to that series. I said there was a time in our church where financially we were growing. Spiritually, we were growing. People were getting it. They were finding the understanding. We were going financially. We were doing very well. The Lord had taught us something, and He said, go back there. And sometimes we bump over the foundations. We learn things, and then we kind of set them to the side. Anybody else? We get to a point, we say, we already know that, and we put it away, and we want more. We're like hungry for more. The Lord said, until you get the revelation of something, you don't have it at all. And we need to have the revelation of it. Amen? And so He said, He told me to go back to that teaching. Of course, we brought it up to the where we're at today. And I've read through it, and the Lord gave me some more scripture. But we need to get back to the keys of the kingdom. How many here have the keys of the kingdom? Does everybody got the keys of the kingdom? Well, we're going to teach you really do. You really do. You have the keys to the kingdom. You were given them at the cross. The day of salvation, you were given the keys to the kingdom. You were given a title deed. Matter of fact, you were brought in and you were adopted by a very royal family, the royalist family, and you were given the keys to the house. You were given a key to everything you're going to need in life. And some of us keep thinking we keep losing our keys. Amen? So the title tonight in this series is Opening the Doors to God's Blessing. See, God says, I come without curses. I come with blessing. God says that my covenant with you is a blessing and not a curse. And far too often we're living like we're in a cursed life. This is always happening to me. Why is it always me? My car's always out of gas. Blah, 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 blah. You got to understand something here. God did not intend you to be out of gas. He did not intend you to. He said, I am a blessing and I am not a curse. And you know, we've bought into some things. He says, but I'm giving you the keys. Because when you have a key to something, you unlock something. There's things that are locked up in our life that we have not opened the door to, and we've refused to make an effort to open those doors. We believe that we're to be bonded or locked up our entire life, and we are not. We are above that. We are God's children. Amen? Opening the doors to God's blessing. God has given us an open door to the presence and the atmosphere. Listen to this. The aura of the throne room of grace at His altar. Matthew 16 and 13 says this. So open your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, I'll think. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. We're going to go to verse 20. Then when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And listen to this. "And the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose in earth will be loosed in heaven." I have given you the keys. Listen to this. He says, when we come to understand who do we say, and I ask you tonight, who do you say he is? The Lord is saying, who do you say I am? Are you still living in a bonded situation where you think that God cannot handle the situation you're in? We live that way sometimes. Sometimes we get caught up and we're in such a trial for so long, we start to question God. He says, where is your faith tonight? Where is your faith tonight? Who do you say that I am? My God can do everything. He is everything. He is abundant God. He has enough to finish any job. Whatever he has started, he shall complete in your life. Glory to God. We're talking about keys that open some locks. How many are behind some locked doors today? Anybody else besides myself? There's some doors that need to be unlocked in my life tonight. There's some doors that need to be unlocked in this part of our life. We've gone through the past. We have been through doors. We have been locked in and we have been chained before. But there's some bondages. There's some things in our life. There's some doors that we need to go through, especially as a church. He's saying that I have you in a place, but I'm about to open a door and you're going to be a part of the key. See, the Lord can do everything, but he has to have a people of faith, to have enough faith in God to turn the key. Glory to God. You see, God, he doesn't lower himself down to our standard. He raises us up. Because he has never again have to lower himself to become sin, but removes our sin and makes intercession for us the righteousness of God. Listen up. God doesn't want us to miss this. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. This is so important. God is not calling us fools. He's not calling us stupid here. He's not saying, hey, dummies, I got something, because God never's like that. Remember we just sang a song that God is unfailing and he's never unkind. That song is so true because God doesn't mess around like some of us do. I got a sense of humor. Maybe I go too far sometimes. God never has a sense of humor. He never goes too far. And when he said that he's unkind, he's not calling you stupid by saying you're ignorant. He's saying that the world and things in your life and situations in your life have you stupid, that you don't understand. The enemy doesn't want you to figure this part out. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant. Most of all, he's saying, I don't want you to be unknowing. Ignorant isn't, oh, you ignorant and this and that, like when we were kids, oh, you're ignorant. No, no. It's just you're unknowing, or I want to show you something. There's things that I don't want you to have. No, this is, there should be things of God that you should not have the knowledge of. No, he wants you to have the knowledge of everything that God has for you. But you know, sometimes we know things, but we don't believe it ourselves. There's times that in our life we know, we read in the Bible all the time, but we say that's for them. Oh, that's for Pastor Denise. Oh, that's for Pastor Denise because who she is. That's Pastor Denise because she lives there. No, it's for all of us. God says all of you. He didn't say, I've given a certain amount of keys and you only get this and you get a master key and you only get a key to one room. No, we all have the key to the kingdom. Listen, today we have the keys to a glorious, victorious life. And God doesn't want us to be fooled, misunderstood, hoodwinked, tricked, meleeed, snookered, or tripped up, because we have the keys in Jesus Christ to open any door that God wants us to walk through. When there's a key, whenever there's a key involved, that means that you're going to go from one to place, opening a door and entering into a new place. Amen. A key means that we're establishing a new place, a better place in our life, that we have to go through some things. We were in the yard, and that was a nice time, but now we've been given a key to that door, and now we have another place, and eventually we will have a key to our own place. Yes. Keys that God is establishing in us. Amen. Any door that God wants us to walk through. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you that you are establishing something in us that cannot be broken off. It cannot be stolen. Cannot be taken and misused by the devil. Lord, you're opening keys to a new life in our life, to a victorious life, to loosen the chains.
Yes.
To break bondages. But more than that, keys to your kingdom, to abundant life of God, to a victorious, healed life, Lord. Healings of just chains breaking, healings on our bodies, in our lives, in our families. Restoration, keys to restoration, keys to finances, keys to every need we need in our life, Lord. Keys to the renewing of life, and Lord, keys to new life, and keys to restoring families, and keys that we need for jobs, obstacles, keys to unlock the obstacles in our life, keys of the kingdom of God. Lord, you are establishing something in your word and by your word. And Lord, help us to establish ourselves in your word, through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And I say that still remains with the power, the relationship we have with our Lord and Savior. Who do you say I am? And tonight you have to look at yourself, not who Pastor Dennis says that God is, but who do you say that I am today? Where is your relationship with the Lord? Each one of you, where is your relationship? Who do you say that he is? Have you separated yourself from God? For my Bible says, and the Lord says, I never leave you or nor forsake you. God is not a liar. Jesus Christ would never lie to us. He has never left you. If you are separated from God, it's your own doing. Straight up. The separation doesn't come from God. Separation comes with us. Who do you say that I am? In our text, Matthew 16 and 15 said this, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Do we really know who our God is and what he's capable of doing? God, the creator of all the universe and everything in it, everything that goes on. And I'm remarkable every day. I'm remarkable how he works in everything. You watch and everything. You hear about people's life and what goes on. God is perfect in every way. Amen? Amen. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. See, when we have a relationship with God, he speaks to our heart. We know who God is, and we knew who God was from the earliest days of our life. When people say they do not believe in God, they don't believe in the truth, because every man knows that there is a God. I guarantee it. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. You're a liar, because God speaks to you. You might not have a relationship with him, not know how to serve him, or even know who he is, but you know there's a God, because he's always chasing after our heart. Amen. We can be excellent examples of God's blessings and to show the power to change and be delivered. Listen to this. But if the people don't enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they will never fully walk in God's promises of abundant living and free from the snares of this world. If you never give yourself over totally to God, if you never enter in, now he's not asking you to be perfect. I'm not talking about that. Well, I can't just be perfect, so I can't give myself in. You can be the most imperfect person and give yourself over totally to God. You could be the biggest mess and give yourself totally over to God. Everything wrong in your life. I mean, you could be the worst of the worst and just say, you know, Lord, what I do have, I give unto you. And you'll be in the best place of God. He's not asking you to be perfect. Perfect can come by relationship and understanding. He that is perfect is made perfect. Is established his ways in God. All that is what God does. But you'll never be perfect. You can't have a relationship when you think you're perfect to be God. Only what he makes righteous is righteous. Hallelujah. Today I want to give you the keys to unlock the doors and open the channels of spiritual communication. And the instruction manual, the Bible, this Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth, Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Listen, Matthew 16 and 19 said this, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What are the keys that Jesus spoke about, and how do we get them? Are they on your keychain tonight? Do you have a special key? Is it an old-fashioned key? Remember the old-fashioned one had the three fingers that came down and a big thing like that? Don't we visualize that as one of God's? It's not like our quickset keys or a little slag key, but it's got to be a special key. It is. The key's in your heart. It's in your mind, the mind of Christ. The key has already been given to you. It's like one of those locks with no door handles. It opens on command. Trust me, listen. So what are the keys that Jesus spoke about? And how do we get them? Well, we establish you must have a personal relationship. Like everything else, it begins with introduction. Listen to this. Revelation 3:20 said this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and him with me." We must all start here. And if you haven't, you can today if he speaks to you. It starts with a simple, still voice. God doesn't scream at you. I hear stories where the Lord said, "Stop!" And they almost got an accident and everything like that. Those are heavenly angels. That's a dispatched heavenly angel. Has that happened to anybody where, you know, all of a sudden you knew, don't go down that alley, or you just didn't do something, or all of a sudden you just stop for a minute and a car goes right on by? These are things that happen. God does those. That's divine angels. But what I'm talking to you, when God's speaking to you, he may never yell at you. It comes from a still, small voice. It comes from the love of God. It enters you into your heart. It's sincere. It speaks to you. It breaks down walls that we have put up before our God. We have put God out of our lives from the time we were born. From the first time we said no. No. From the first thing we did. When the first time that we were ever disobedient. Now that was never me. I was a perfect child. You got to ask my mom. But we all have to start here. And if you haven't, as he speaks to you, and there's taking ownership of it. There comes a time in our life when we have to take ownership. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, when I was a child, I did things as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. We know in our life when God is speaking to us and we say, Lord, I'm done with that. Lord, I give myself over to you. There's a time when we become less and we must decrease that he increases in our life. But more than that, when we start being lords to ourselves and he becomes our God. The first key is that he must be God. To live in a covenant with God, the keys of the kingdom is his. And we're a part of it, but the kingdom is his. It is not ours until it is given to us. If we try to take the keys of the kingdom by any other way, we're a thief and we will not enter in. We got to take ownership, people. We have to establish some things. God says, I'm giving you a key tonight, but it's like anything else. You must read the manual before you start driving the car. Before you take the motorcycle, read the instructions. Before you do that, and it's very hard for men. I built that cart right there, and I built it two ways before I read the manual and put it together right. But in the things of God, you don't get ahead of God. There's basic instructions before leaving earth. that we must establish in the things of God, B-I-B-L-E. There's taking ownership. When you buy a new car or a home, there is a contract written laying out the terms and condition of the purchase. It's no different with salvation. Salvation, you just don't get saved and go on the rest of your life living the same way. There's terms and conditions. Who wants the keys to the kingdom tonight? There's terms and conditions to the contract that God has given us that establishes everything in our life. And the purchase and conditions have been made and have been paid in full. We're not on a payment plan with God. The price has already been paid. It's the blood shed on that cross at Calvary. The price has already been paid of salvation. The key has already been established. The ownership is already established. But we do have to take the terms of the contract, the new covenant tonight. Jesus Christ has paid the price, has delivered the keys to unlock the situations. Conditions have been made that we have to walk in them. What are the conditions of the kingdom living? Are we living a victorious life in every aspect of our daily life? If not, maybe we need to unlock another door in our lives. So we've established that the importance of communion, not to taking the elements, but through its importance that the communion through the prayer and spending the time in His Word, but most of all applying what we do know to action. And then when I talk about that, it's because when we have communion with God, when we have conversation, communion basically means communing with God, talking with God, spending the time, knowing who He is. Communion is not just a religious act. It's what we do to have time with God. He says, do this often and spend time with me and understand what communion means. Communication is a part of that. Communicating with God, taking upon these elements and don't do them. You know, it's like anything else. We do some things religiously and we don't even mean them. We just do them. But God says there's more than that. Just don't say, just don't be hearers, but be doers of the word. Our Christian life isn't just coming to church on Thursday and coming on Sunday and saying we're good Christians. No, it's living a godly, victorious life. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church. And we're no different. God is going to establish Himself in our lives. Listen to this. God is no respecter of person. What He will do for one, He will do for all who ask. He says this. He says, listen to me. If you want to have a victorious life with God, just like Peter, He's building His church upon you tonight. And listen to this. The gates of hell cannot prevail. That means they can't even get in there. If we're establishing our life on the Word of God and who He is in our life, hell isn't going to come in and have victory on us. It's the same thing. If God's spoken, it will not happen. Will we go through trials? Yes, but they will not win. Will we go through some things? We will not be defeated. Will we have some troubles? We will not go down by them. Are you hearing me tonight? So we establish that our Lord, our Savior, He is going to use us to build His church. Amen. We are finding our way to God's supernatural doorstep. We are at the threshold, standing with one hand in the knocking position and the key in the other. And God is about to open to us and bring us into the throne room. The keys that God is talking about, listen to me. The key that God is talking about, He says, I stand in the door of the knock. But once we've established something, we also are standing at a door. One hand like this, and the other one opening the door. He doesn't say, knock, and then I'll open it unto you. He said, no, we knock, and if we open it unto Him the same way, we're to knock, because we have established a covenant with God. We're to do a job. He has given us the power to overcome situations. He didn't say, I got a key, and I'm opening every door for you. He says, no, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom tonight. He's given you a key to open every door, a master key. Now, are we ready to walk through? We need to be ready. We need to establish some things. First of all, that we know who our God is. Amen? And we're in that constant communication with God. You just don't get saved and just start going out and healing and laying hands and prophesying. No, there's a process. You got to know who He is. Listen. 16:19 says again, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When our hearts are right, our words are right. When we speak the oracles of God, God's word, people will listen. When we pray with people, they will be set free, delivered, and healed. And whatever we ask of the Father will be given to us. Are you living that type of life right now? Do you have the confidence when you pray for someone to be healed, for them to be healed? Honestly. Come on. When you pray for someone, do you believe they're going to get healed? I do. And we need to establish ourselves today that the devil is putting doubt in some of our minds. And we got to kick that right out. God did not say that. He said, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That means whatever we pray and we believe, the Lord is going to do it for us. We're not doing the binding. He is. We're not doing the loosening. He is. See, we just have a key to open a door that the Lord can move in our lives. When our hearts are right, our words are right. When we speak the oracles of God, people will listen. Man, when you're on fire for God, people want to hear what you got to say. They want to know what is going on with you. And people are going to listen. You don't even have to preach, you just talk, and people want to hear. It's like E.F. Hutton. Remember E.F. Hutton? You guys are probably too young for that. Matthew 18 and 18 and 19. I love this. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind in earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose in earth will be loose in heaven. Again, verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree concerning anything that they ask, it will be done by my Father in heaven. Who's talking here? The Lord Jesus Christ, who never lies. He never mixes words. He's saying, if you guys could come into agreement, if we can get a church in agreement, if we can get all these people in agreement, how much power will this church have over the things of the enemy, over the things of this city, over the things of this country, over the things that need to be done? How much, if we can come into agreement, can God work? If one can send 1,000, two can send 10,000, how much more in the power of agreement can we do as a church if we do it? United in Him is a powerful name. People say, that's a powerful name for a church. Any kind of ministry. Yeah, you're right. You know why? Because it's the power of unity. It's the power of agreement. You know, that's why, I'll tell you what, that's why when you have an argument or unforgiveness with something, takes all the power of the church. When you get people that won't forgive each other in the church, the church and the people start to lose power. It's a work of the devil. If he can get you to disagree on something, he has us beat. I don't care how strong and powerful you think you are tonight. If you're not doing the will of God, it has no impact on your future in heaven. Listen to me. So what are you doing that you will go with you into heaven? Listen to this. For the things that are seen are temporary. For the things of today, for the things that we do today are temporary. But the things of God are eternal. Some of us, you know, we like to be seen everything. The one guy says this. He says, I led 1,000 people to the Lord. And if you told that, everybody go, oh, pat you on the back. Well, then the Bible says you got your reward. But the things you do in secret, I do it unto God. That goes before me into heaven. We sang a song tonight. I'd trade treasure, I'd trade fame just to hear you speak my name. That goes into eternity. See, when we start taking the product, or we start taking all the fame of something, that's who we are. This is like even sometimes the big churches. Well, I go there. Well, that doesn't impress me what church you go to. But what are you doing in the church impresses me. Well, I'm right because I go to a church of 10,000, so that makes me right. No, that just makes you one of 10,000. Right. Not much power in that. It's not about the size of the church. Right. It's about the power of the people. Yes. What they're doing for the work of God. Not for what they're doing for now, but what they're doing for the kingdom forever. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Listen, whose keys are you holding today? And what doors are you trying to open? Are the doors you're trying to open today more for the glory, for your glory, or for God's glory? Are you trying to open doors to be somebody, to be impressive, to be something? Or are you trying to open doors for God's glory? Are you trying to lead people to the Lord for His sake or for your sake. Listen, are we asking for a better church, a larger church, to say that we're a better Christian, or to do a greater work for God, for our benefit or for His? So the first key is to know who your God is. Who do you say that He is? The Lord is asking you right now, who do you say that I am? That's the very first key. You shall have no other gods before you. It's the first commandment. I shall be your only God. It's very important that we don't lose that aspect. We forget about the commandments. That's the Old Testament. We live by the New Testament. No, the oracles of God are the same. They're the same. He is a God and we shall serve no other gods. Who do you say I am today? He's my God. You're my God. Forgive me, Lord. I think that song, you get, thank you for your mercy. Oh my God, thank you for your grace. He's talking to me, that song. Man, even that bad that he knows that I am, he still loves me. He's my God. Who do you say I am? The only power we have is his divine power. Listen, the second key is the power of unity, the power of agreement. Do we comprehend the power of agreement and understand that we must be united in one accord in order to see the move of the Holy Spirit and allow God to have his way, not my way, but yours, Lord? We got to be in agreement. We got to love one another. We got to be united in him. We got to be a church together. When one is weak, somebody be strong for them. When one has fallen, pick them up. You know, those that are spiritual, pick them up. Restore in such a manner, Galatians 6 says. But to be in agreement, we must be right with one another. So let's go back to the couple verses in chapter 18, Matthew 18 and 15. Moreover, 18 and 15, Matthew 18 and 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go, tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. 17. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses then to hear the church, let him be like a heathen and a tax collector. Go to the person alone and make it right, not to everyone else. Are you hearing me? To make it right. He has given us the keys and set the captives free. To set the captives free. He has delivered the ransom. He has paid the price. He has unlocked the door. He will set us free. If you don't give someone the chance to make things right, we also hold ourselves in bondage as well as them. If we don't make an option, if we don't give them an option, if we don't give them a chance, if we keep them in unforgiveness, their blood is on our hands. We are just as guilty. Do you know that some will just say, they will never receive it. I'm so done with you, everything, but you got to try with everything you can to restore that. When it comes to God, you must try. Well, they won't even take it. They won't even take my call. I don't care. Keep praying and keep trying. Restore that relationship. If we don't give someone a chance to make things right, it also holds ourselves in bondage as well as them. Their blood is on our hands. Listen to this, Matthew 18 and 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Anybody find yourself there in that place? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that they had, that they would payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him of his debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay all that I pay you all. But he would not, and went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have pity on you?" And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother with his trespasses. We don't take this scripture serious enough. We don't. We hold people into bondage. My debt was so great in life. My sin was so terrible. I saw somebody at breakfast even this week when they heard our testimony, me and my wife's testimony, they left the church, told us to our face, those sins cannot be forgiven. We were given testimonies one day, and we saw them in there, you know. It was right before we were supposed to get married and everything. Denise was letting her ring gleam on the light, and the lady's like, she's trying to catch the light to catch her off. She's all hovey, lovey, dovey. I'm like, what is wrong with you? It was right before you get married. Your marriage won't work. 100 years later. Unforgiveness. Our sins were so great and God forgave me. And yet, somebody's little offenses, I cannot let them go. And the Bible says here that the master will put us into the same bondage. Are things happening in our lives? I'm talking about keys tonight. He's establishing a key to open every door of our life. And there's certain small trips and tricks of the devil that are keeping us from those doors opening in our lives. God says, I'm giving the keys. We're establishing a series right now. In the next few weeks, we're going to be going through a series about things. And the Lord said, I'm giving you every key. Don't miss a Thursday night. We're going to go right on through, and by the time we get finished, the devil will have no hold on us. We're going to open every door spiritually that we can. Far too often we feel we don't have to forgive because it wasn't our fault. It was their fault. And if we don't forgive, God will not forgive, and the doors will not open for us. It's not my fault, Pastor. You don't even know what they did. I had nothing to do with it. I was such a good guy. I sat there, and they were so mad at me, and I just smiled at them. You're a liar. Had nothing to do with it. I was praying for them right there and just really nice, and they were angry. I don't know why the car door went on their fingers. Come on. Come on. We lie. We're always a part of it somehow. We might even have been the right part, but it doesn't matter. We must forgive. We must open those doors for forgiveness. I don't care if it was their fault. You still got to let them go. Release them of that, or we hold them in bondage. It's one of the major keys. He's saying, I need you to forgive. I need you to let that, because you have hardness in your heart. And I don't care how great of a Christian you are, there's things in your life. It's hardening in your heart. He's trying to open our heart. We're trying to give you the keys. I'm trying to give you the kingdom, and you're releasing it. Amen? That's the deal. That's the contract. We're looking for a contract with God. God has a covenant. Whenever God has established something in our life, it's a covenant established. Amen? It's the deal. It's the contract. It's the new covenant. Today, if you have agreed to the terms of the contract, the new covenant, has the blood been applied to meet the terms agreed upon? If you have salvation in your life, you have the keys. If you have agreed to the covenant, then you have agreed to the whole deal. You can't pick and choose what you want out of the kingdom of God. It's all in or get out with God. There's grace. There's things. I'm not talking about that. Oh, if you haven't done it, if you got sin in your life, you're going to hell. No, he's saying, I want you to have it all. But you're giving up things. It's a contract. It's a covenant with God. The blood has been applied to meet the terms agreed upon. We have all been given the keys of healing, deliverance, prosperity, and everything to make us whole in the Word of God. And it starts right here. The key is that Jesus paid the price. In the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about establishing the key to open every door. Who wants every door open in their life? When we went through this the first time, I tell you what, in the first 4 weeks, our church moved. We were establishing things in some covenants that we've got away from. We just got a little lazy, and we just got a little misled. But when we went through this, and this is the Word of God, and if you apply the Word of God, it works in your life. It's like the greatest medicine to any kind of healing you need. It's the greatest. It's the greatest financial thing that you can do in your life. It's everything God says He will. If we follow the keys, every door shall be open. Who needs some doors open tonight? Let's stand tonight. Amen. And now we have the keys to open every door we need to have open to see the glory of God. And I believe in the next few weeks that we're going to go through some things. First, we need to establish. Who do you say He is tonight? Who do you say that God is tonight? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He truly the Lord of your life? Or is He just something we serve? Is He what I talk to before my Wheaties? Or maybe He's even something I ask about before I go to bed. He wants more than that. He wants our whole life. He wants to be in every decision. He wants to be in every condition. He wants to be in everything of our life. And He deserves to be because He owns us. He owns everything about my life. Someone said, do I give 10%? I said, no, I give 100% of my finances. I don't have a little bit. He runs everything. I don't check on that stuff. I don't say, well, this is then the rest of mine. All of mine is God's. It always has been. Everything about me, someone said about some finance today, I said, I will liquidate everything I got. And the Lord has given me a lot of stuff. And then there was Luby, I think, that said this. Yeah, I've done it before, and He's always given it back. Yes! I've liquidated a few times. I paid for some stuff. Yes! Everything I got is His. The Bible says, sell all that you got and serve the kingdom of God. Sell all you give and follow me. And I've done it before. I'm not worried about it again. 100%. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. I still do some little things in my life and He deals with me. But I'm so glad He's dealing with me tonight. I'm so glad He's still talking to me, that He loves me enough to tell me to get on the right path. Dennis, my son. My son, my loved one. Who do you say I am tonight? Lord, You're my Lord. The first key is we need to understand who He is in our life tonight. And maybe we have dropped the ball tonight. Maybe there's areas in our life where we have not made Him number one. And He says, I will not have no other gods before me. Let's bow our heads tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You that You have established Yourself. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And tonight, Lord, as we open this series of the keys of the kingdom, Lord, You are the key. You're truly the key of life. You're the key. You're the God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, establish Yourself in every area of my life and our lives tonight. Lord, we surrender ourselves tonight and say, here I am, and what I am and what I have, I give unto You tonight. Lord, I bow my head and I bow myself to Your feet this morning. Lord, establish my ways, Father, not my ways. Lord, I turn myself over to You. Lord, that's You tonight. Just say me, Lord. That's me tonight, Lord. That's me tonight, Lord. I establish myself in You tonight. I repent of my sins, Lord. Lord, I ask You to wash me in the blood tonight. Establish Your ways in me tonight, Lord. As we surrender ourselves tonight, God, Lord, forgive us of our sin. And Lord, fill our hearts with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we repent and turn from our way tonight. Establish Yourself and be our God. And we know who You are, who You are. And only God can establish that. Only You, Lord, can establish Your way in us tonight. And we thank You for it, Lord Jesus. If that's with you, you just say amen. 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 We're dismissed tonight. God.